Welcome to the 2022 first annual Showgaze Showies. Tonight we are joined by, as always, myself, Adam. We have Molly here.
Yes, hello. I don't know what you want me to say.
I'm doing an NPR intro, and we also have RJ with us. RJ,
thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Before we even start the awards, I have to say, I have been thinking about this since I filled out my ballot.
It's very important to vote.
And it's important to vote. And honestly, when this comes out, we will have all voted. But
yes,
it's important to continue voting.
Right.
Every election, every primary, every award season, whatever. Yeah. All of
this,
it.
This midterm will yet again fall on my birthday. So please, everyone, as birthday person to me.
And if you needed this pod to tell you to vote,
you probably shouldn't have.
That's unfortunate because we have missed the deadline. But
yeah. So that's real troublesome. Okay, well, let's just get right into it. Starting off tonight's awards. Okay, here we go. Merriam-Webster defines support as bear all or part of the weight of, hold up. And that's just what these next performances do. Tonight, we recognize the nominees for Best Supporting Performance in a Movie Musical. Now, we should probably have said before we go into this to the listeners, this is how it's going to work. Molly has a nomination, I have a nomination, RJ has a nomination. And then we will all decide based on those three who will get the
award this year.
Okay. So that's how it's going to work. So, okay, here we go. Best Supporting Performance in a Movie Musical. Molly, you are every time going to go first. Please tell me your nominee.
Do I just tell you the nominee or do I give you
a pitch? You can do whatever you want. This could be a 6-hour episode. I do not care. This is the greatest day of my life. This is the closest I'll ever get to the Oscar. Dream big.
Dream big.
And you're creating it yourself. Don't dream it, be it, right?
Yeah.
My nominee is going to be Ariana DeBose in the West Side Story revival. She managed to do the difficult thing of doing a performance that someone else has done and is beloved for, but still make it impressive and not just in comparison to the previous performance of the role.
Definitely.
She is a revelation. I want her to be in everything. Mm-hmm. And I think elevated the film with her musical theater expertise that she brought into the space.
Wonderfully said.
Absolutely.
Wonderful nomination. RJ?
My nomination will be Kathy Najimy for Sister Act.
Wow.
Kathy Najimy makes an impression without even acting sometimes. Her face says it all. You know exactly who she is, what her stakes are, what her character is. Mm-hmm. All of her lines are hilarious and funny and just so, like, just biting and just, I just love it. I love her performance. She's really such a standout. Like, her character's, like, sense of humor is so earnest and but even at times, like, she knows how silly and like, people don't take her seriously.
Sister
and, like,
Mary,
she's
what?
Owned it.
What's her name? Sister Mary, which one?
What a great question. Great. Sister Mary.
Did
Catherine,
not do your research.
Did not do that part.
She's not Sister Mary Roberts, and she's not Sister Mary Lazarus. She's the
Sister
other
Mary
one.
Sister Mary Clarence is Whoopi, right?
Right.
Kathy.
Not Jimmy. Musical guest, Whoopi Goldberg.
You're really good at that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your next
Kathy Najimy played
Sister Mary Patrick.
Sister Mary.
It's Mary Patrick. Okay. I just remembered.
So she is my vote. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have to also say the way that I'm going to read my nominations.
Oh.
Because I want to make sure that every film that we watched gets referenced.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you.
I was not keeping track of this. I was just trying to do it in my head. So I
didn't even write down who I was going to nominate. So.
Oh, she just knows.
So I'm going to tell you the two people who were the runners up to my nomination.
Okay.
For each award.
Okay. Wow.
So two runners up and then the one that you chose.
Right. First, I have the Christmas on the Square neighbor lady who kept getting featured. An iconic performance. I kept seeing her and wondering who she was. I wanted more. And maybe that's why she didn't actually get the nomination, right? Get enough.
Right. And truly supporting in that.
Truly supporting. Like, yes. Lines such as, like, and what's that over there? Like, just clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Shout out to her. My second one was the wigs in the hair salon from In the Heights. A supporting performance. Oh,
okay.
Yes.
This is really funny because how you interpreted these is how I interpreted a different category.
But it's a good point that we did not say best supporting actor.
We said best performance. Absolutely. It's a performance.
My actual nomination, which is why I was so shocked, is also Kathy Najimy for Sister Act.
Whoa.
And so that was the thing. That's why we had three options. So that way it would, if I said one, it would make it your second. Or are you just going to say, you're just going to go with Kathy Najimy?
I mean, I think there's best two out of three.
Okay. You're saying that that's a vote for Kathy. For this one,
yeah. If we're all split, then we're going to have to sway and blah, blah, blah. But at least for the first one, we figured it out very quickly. Ariana DeBose, you literally won an Oscar. You do not need this.
That is so funny. When I was watching you react to me saying Kathy Najimy, I was like, I thought you were like, oh, I didn't even think about like
that's
that.
That's what I thought,
whatever.
Too. Yeah, I thought you were like, oh, deep cut. Like, who would have thought?
Yeah.
I love her performance. It is a true supporting performance in that film. She does such a great job with it. I bet if you polled 90% of people who watch this movie, they would say their favorite supporting character is Sister Mary Patrick. That's my guess, because she's so good in this role.
Yeah.
And she's an icon. And she's a legend, and she is the moment. Okay,
so
next.
Congratulations, Kathy Najimy.
Congrats, Kathy Najimy.
MVP, VIP. Nowhere else are these two letters interchangeable, but here on Showgaze, they are. Here are the nominees for VIP performer.
Molly, you're up first.
I have to give it to Joel Grey. It has to be Joel Grey in Cabaret. He makes the film. He is the moment. He is the moment of 1970, whatever that film was made
absolutely.
In, and he is the moment now.
Absolutely. He continues to be the moment.
I'm so grateful that Adam is scribing and recording all of this as if we are not also recording the audio of these awards.
Yes, we'll never know. Yeah. We'll never know. We have to transcribe. So I will caveat this by saying I interpreted VIP performer in a more loose way. Maybe not loose way, but just more of like how Adam interpreted the supporting performances.
Okay.
So my VIP performer is the woman we thought was a supporting character in Christmas on the Square.
Wow.
I interpreted this as like very important person. I have to ask
because I was not clear when I said mine. Are you referring to the white lady?
I am referring to the white lady with like the blonde hair who like had like really loud pronounced lines.
This is where we distinguish.
Oh, you are not thinking of the same
person? Referring to the famous older,
the older lady
who
we thought
like,
was like
during Wickedest Witch in the middle was like, we gotta kill her.
We were talking about two different women. Wow.
And she also sings that first opening line to what's his name? The main hot heartthrob in that movie?
The old man does not turn out to be a heartthrob. It was that there was a moment where the two sang at each other and we thought this is a movie about this old couple falling in love.
They were gonna be a couple,
but the heartthrob is the Christian pastor named Christian.
Christian.
Christian the Christian.
Boo.
Who's so
Coates.
Wow, okay. So other lady.
Yes. The lady who, like, we actually thought had a name, but did not end up having names, even though she had a lot of lines.
I took it to mean MVP performer, and it was, like, the ultimate MVP who, like, truly made the movie that they were in. That's how I took the category.
Okay. So, yeah, we both took the category the same.
Yeah, it's the same idea. Okay. So, here are mine. Judy Garland, Meet Me in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Liza Minnelli, Cabaret. Mm-hmm. But eventually, I went with Debbie Reynolds for Singin' in the Rain.
Wow, I thought you were going to say Barbara, actually.
I know. I went with Debbie.
I think I would agree. Okay, here we
does
go.
Does she make Singing in the Rain? Like,
I knew as soon as I decided this that Molly was going to be the one who was like, but is she that good in it?
She's great in it, luminous, but I don't think that it's like a no one else could have done it in the same way that I don't think anyone else could have done what Joel Grey did in Cabaret.
I will agree with that.
I think Joel Grey is the VIP performer. Sorry, lady.
But we do want to acknowledge what Debbie went through.
Oh, yeah.
We do want to acknowledge trauma on this podcast.
Yes.
What is able to move front, back, left, right, up, and down, all while hovering? Here are the nominees for Best Performance by a Helicopter.
So can I pause that we also have later on the line Best Performance by a Machine in a Movie Musical, I thought was RJ rewriting the category to be more inclusive, but I'm now realizing our separate category. So I have to come up with a non-helicopter machine later.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be thinking about that on my off time.
Okay.
But I obviously, and I'm glad you gave me the role of first nominator, because mm-hmm. I'll fulfill the what everyone's expecting ones.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be 1980s Annie. Helicopter.
82 Annie, yeah.
82 Annie, chasing her down the train tracks. The guy, the Indian
Punjab,
guy.
Punjab holding his turban out the window.
Yes, absolutely. Saving Annie, critical to the plot.
Just like New York is the fifth character in Sex and the City, the helicopter truly is the other Warbucks' adopted child.
Is Annie's parents, I think, in many ways.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. In many ways, I think that's the metaphor they
right. went with. Yeah.
That's beautiful. RJ, we did expect that. We knew that was
coming. We did expect that. And honestly, that was also my number one as well. This helicopter was an actual plot device, which I think
true.
Sets it apart from other helicopter performances where it's just used as a mode of transportation. This set the scene and the major dramatic question, will Annie die?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I have to give it up to 82 Annie Helicopter.
Now, I was contrarian because I famously didn't like any of the Annies. However, I do want to recognize them. They were my honorable mentions. Annie 82 and Annie 2014. Are my two honorable mentions.
You have to acknowledge there was a helicopter in that movie.
You have to say. It's true. Yeah. And you can't deny it. That's important. However, my nomination goes to the helicopter swoop in over the tugboat in Funny Girl. That's my nomination.
Oh.
So we're leaving out the nomcopters from Across the Universe. They're not even in the conversation.
I couldn't remember what number they were in. I was like,
it's
I know there was
Fields,
a helicopter.
Because painting a picture is the same thing as fighting in a war.
I literally wrote down Across the Universe. I know there we'll was talk, there, but
we're,
I couldn't
I'm
going
to have to talk about Across the Universe later.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're
I used... did not include those. That.
Okay.
But you're including like camera helicopter. Okay. But I think 2 out of 3, Annie 82.
Gotta be.
Annie 82 takes it, girly. I mean, absolutely. To be expected, obviously. Ziegfeld may have died in 1932, but 90 years later, we recognize these tributes to his iconic follies in these movie musicals. These are the nominees for Best Follies Number.
Amazing. Easy serve up, Singing in the Rain.
Yep.
It's gotta be, it's iconic, the outfits.
She based a closer on it.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah,
know.
A closer that we didn't do on the podcast, but we did do after the podcast because it was such a fun concept, but it was so visually based.
We didn't keep that in the podcast.
I don't think we.
I think it did.
I think we ended the recording. I feel very sure that we did not. We'll have to go back to the tapes.
We'll have to listen back to the tapes, but I remember.
But as I said, you know, it shaped my entire understanding of femininity as a child. And I think that
I'm a different person today because of it.
Perfect segment. Yeah. I am a different person because that faultless number exists.
That's true. RJ?
I am going to vote and nominate the Grease 2 Follies numbers, the Calendar Girls, the months of the year.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even think. I forgot about
you. How dare you?
Out of all of the Follies numbers, it had the most memorable costume with the Champagne Girl and her legs kicking out.
How could you ever forget Champagne Girl?
And the President's Day quarter.
It's true. I can tell you why I forgot about it. It's because I don't think enough time is truly devoted to each of those costumes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We don't get enough time. We don't get enough.
We don't get to enjoy what that production designer, costume designer put into that number.
Yeah, absolutely.
Only the champagne.
Champagne flute. And that's the thing. That's why I voted it as number one, because it was just so memorable.
It's true.
The key costumes were just like, wow, that is, I mean, that's genius, creativity.
That's history. Mm-hmm.
That's history.
As Whitney Houston said. Here are my honorable mentions. Singing in the Rain. Mm-hmm. And Funny Girl. I did not nominate Funny Girl. I went with a dark horse this year. Hmm. I thought outside the box. I said, what is a Follies number that's not a Follies number?
Oh, here we go.
And I'm giving it to You've Got to Be Seen in Green. Because honestly, that's a modern interpretation of a Follies number for sure.
Okay.
I want to hear it. We're not here to litigate.
We're not litigating.
Well, we all have to come up to a consensus, remember?
Who's going to win the award?
Yeah.
I think what makes a Follies number is the distinctiveness of the costumes. And all of the costume sequences are done, the color changes are done together. The costumes stand out from each other.
And featuring, here's a costume. Mm-hmm. Now here's a costume.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You have to admit it's a good nomination.
It's a good nomination.
It's a good nomination.
I'll give it that.
Very outside the box for sure. It's the independent award. It's the indies.
If we're going Singin' versus Grease 2, I'm going Singin'. Yeah. Because again, I didn't even remember Grease 2 had
one. Grease 2 had one phenomenal background moment, but as a number as a whole, you have to give it to Singin' the
Rain. That's true. Right. That's true.
Also, which is funny because also Singing in the Rains is not like a full, it's like a background beat. It's not even part of the plot. It's just like, it's just on scene. We come into them filming a Follies number.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the Rain.
Congrats to her.
Theater kids are unfortunately very horny. And you need some of that to come through to really sell the idea of a musical on film. Here are the nominees for horniest performance in a movie musical. Mm. Again, serving up the audience answer, Michelle Pfeiffer in Grease 2, on top of the ladder, specifically.
I was about to say specific moments, and it's the ladder. For straddling sure. the
Obviously.
Ladder.
It's a great nomination. Yeah, we love Michelle Pfeiffer.
There's nothing more to be said about it.
It's one of the only things we said about the movie in general.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah, I think it speaks for itself.
Okay, I had a really tough time between these two. Michael and Stephanie were also my number one, but since I'm gonna give my nomination to someone else.
Okay,
I am gonna go with Vanessa Redgrave's performance in Camelot. Specifically, Then You May Take Me to the Fair. And I think, like, we talked about that number, like, listening to the Julie Andrews version versus, like, watching her version, especially after seeing her sing, like, Lusty Month of May, too. She is, like, this is, like, how she rules. Like, this is her queendom. You know, like, it's very, I am using my femininity in a very, like,
purposeful,
sultry way in order to, like, get the men to, like, do what I want. Which I don't, it's just like how she comes across. And I think it's like really, it's a really good choice. Like it makes her really stand out, I feel like.
It is, it's utilitarian horniness. You know what I mean? It is put to use in that.
Yeah. Sure, for sure. It's not just on the surface. It's not just for show.
Yeah.
It serves a purpose.
Yeah.
That's amazing. My honorable mentions are Kevin Kline's shirt and chest hair in The Pirates of Penzance. My other one is the seduction sequence in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Incredibly horny.
The dual seduction.
The dual seduction. Mm-hmm. However, My nomination. Now, I don't know how we're going to square the circle, but you'll see in a second. My nomination is a three-way tie between three actors.
Okay,
my
well.
God.
In one scene.
Oh. Okay.
In the sexual tension scene from Camelot.
From Camelot.
Oh, from Camelot.
From Camelot, not Cabaret.
Oh.
Now, are we sure we don't want to nominate that scene for campiest moment?
You all can do whatever you want to do. That is not where my loyalties lie.
Okay. I will say I'm just going to drop my honorable mention, the one that I was choosing between, and it was Skye and Sophie in Mamma Mia on the beach.
Oh.
Because that really unlocked a lot of am I attracted to both of these?
The award, you know what the award should have been? A scene that created the most bisexual people.
Seems to be like a huge theme in all of the movies. In a lot of the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Adam so bravely invented bisexuality. That's true.
Could have called it the Adam Bisexuality Award. Parentheses, not bisexual.
and according to the reviews that we read at the time, if we're on a dime changing this to bisexual icon award, we have to for some reason include Jack Skellington because apparently he's very relevant.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think if it is a bicon award, I would like to give it to Mamma Mia. And I can't believe...
We're just changing the award.
I hope you're okay with that. After you prepared extensively for this, I'm changing it. It's about bi people now. Yep. And I think that those two in Mamma Mia, I can't believe I'm proposing that we give Mamma Mia an award.
I know. I was so shocked. But that was just such a charged scene. And then, it erupts with waves and then men just jumping into water. You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's just something about it that... I know a lot of minds were changed.
on the record, horniest performance is stricken from the record, and it is now the bisexual award, and it goes to Mamma Mia for specifically Sophie and
Skye. Lay all your love on me.
Lay all your love on me. All of it. All 9 inches.
However, some people are so waspy that they are inherently unhorny. And tonight, we honor those performances as well. These are the nominees for least horny performance in a movie musical.
That was beautiful. Great job.
Yeah. I gotta nominate Ben Platt and Caitlin Dever in Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh my God.
Sitting 6 feet away from each other.
0 ounce of chemistry. Nothing is there.
Just absolutely dead in the eyes. Is that performance? And they didn't do it on that one.
They did not. It's true.
They sucked it out. There's
one
none
thing
in there.
You could say about that. It's true. RJ,
I would like to nominate the visual effects team that worked on Cats for editing out Jason Derulo's huge bulge.
I thought about this, but then I was like, I really don't want to disparage VFX workers.
I thought that you just were, it's just like the entire effect of Cats you wanted to nominate. Well,
no, it's not, I'm not disparaging
neutering Jason Derulo.
I'm not disparaging VFX. I'm disparaging the people who saw the bulge and were like, I just got to do it. It's a job. And just had to kind of remove Jason Derulo's bulge.
Right.
Which I feel like, at that, you have to be very unhorny to be like, that is an impressive feat, but I just have to do this, you know?
Mm. The headspace that they had to get into, you're saying.
Yes.
It's dark.
Mm. Yeah.
It's dark energy.
It's very dark. So absent of joy.
Very
you know?
Corporate.
Very corporate. Slack.
Here are my honorable mentions. First up, we have Rose Byrne and Jamie Foxx in Annie 2014. Not horny at all.
Not horny at all.
Couldn't be less horny.
No.
More of convenience, actually, because they're like, well, since we work for you,
around each other,
I might as well date you.
Next, we have Hugh Jackman and Michelle Williams in The Greatest Showman. Also not horny. Mm-mm.
Also never aged. From
Shockingly, not the reason I don't like the movie, but it is one of the reasons. But finally, my nomination has to go to the Pete Buttigieg gays in Christmas on the Square, who are inherently not horny because they are, in fact,
on
Pete Buttigieg gays.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was about to say, or they are in this movie.
I mean, you both made compelling cases, but it's true. I think RJ's VFX nomination is just that's it.
I think it's it. I think you're right.
And I just love that Jason Derulo.
It's they took something that is horny
and removed it.
Exactly.
And I will have to give it to Mr. Jason for sticking up for himself, because he was like, by the way, this happened, and I want everyone to know that this happened.
I'm breaking my silence on this.
I have to break my silence because it's important to tell our story.
It's the YouTube apology screen cap where it's
we have to end generational trauma. We need to speak up. Stop the cycle. You know what
Stop
I mean?
Stop the cycle.
Stop the cycle.
Show the bulge.
There are many events that this podcast missed in popular culture because we were committed to getting these churned out quickly and efficiently. Inevitably, between the time we record this and when it drops, we will miss something else. Here are those events in the category most egregious omission of recent events.
I'm going to have to put up us casually mentioning Will and Jada Pinkett Smith as potential producers at one point in the Annie Project and dropping it mere days, I believe, after the Oscar slap, and just saying those names as if they're the most neutral celebrities one could imagine.
It's the most just normal names.
Just names. Just like people that nobody has strong opinions about, you know? Yeah. Just people.
Absolutely. Just people.
Sure. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Just people.
Who are they? What's their names?
The Smiths.
I don't know them.
They were famous producers. A long time ago.
I am going to nominate Lea Michele in Funny Girl. Mm. The fact that we did an entire episode on Funny Girl and didn't even talk about, you know, Beanie in the show, which usually we'll do a little bit about, like, okay, if there's a current revival. We didn't really even talk about the current revival during that. Like, we kind of avoided the subject because we recorded it early that we didn't even know what the reviews were going to be. We just knew that, like, Beanie will be in Funny Girl. And by the time it came out, especially since there were two episodes lost before this episode, it would have been an even bigger omission. By the time it came out, Beanie had already left. Lea Michele had already probably premiered, or, like, had already debuted.
And a lot happened.
A lot happened, and we were just like, wow, Barbara Streisand is so... ubiquitous with this role. Amazing.
And we talked about how the song is now associated with Lea Michele because of her performance of it on Glee. Again, not as if that was, like, a pressing cultural issue.
Yes. That, like, people who aren't really even big musical theater fans had, like, opinions about. Like,
I can give an update right now in the moment if we want. Mm. The rumor is that they're going to do a cast recording with Lea.
So now, between now and November 15th, when this episode comes out, that would be confirmed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so my honorable mentions were both of yours, The Slap and Lea Michele. However, I chose something that I think is known around the world. I think something happened on the global stage that was so important and that tangentially we should have talked about because we did something based, we had a reference to the monarchy. And that is Queen Elizabeth II's death. When we talked about Queen Victoria in Pirates of Penzance, nary a mention. Not anything about the lineage of matriarch queens in the England at all. Because you know what? She wasn't dead yet. I think she died like 4 days after we recorded it.
Wow.
So that's my nomination. The loss of the colonizer, Queen Elizabeth II.
Yeah.
I don't know that we would call her a colonizer. I think she was maintaining colonization that had already happened. Did any countries get colonized during her reign?
That little island, for me to argue.
That little island in Argentina.
The Falkland Wars? They didn't colonize it during it. It was a war over it continuing to be colonized.
Mm. As most wars, I think, are about colonization.
Many. Wow, that's a compelling one.
That is a compelling one. Because you don't even think about it, really. Right. But I will say,
And so maybe that's why it's not compelling.
If we're comparing stakes of events, we are talking a slap on national television.
Sure. Seen by millions.
Seen by millions.
But
Broadway mess.
Beanie and Leah could not be more relevant to the audience that we are cultivating on this show.
That's true.
The one that's going to get the Ryan Murphy feud season would be Beanie and Leah.
Yeah.
And if they did it.
And they'd probably cast Leah Michelle to play Leah Michelle.
I would pay you $100 in a bet that the people who listen to the show care more about Beanie Feldstein and Leah Michelle than they do about Queen Elizabeth. That it has impacted their lives more in the last year than the Queen's death.
It's true. How many British listeners do we have?
Yeah, please write in, British listeners. Let us know.
Anybody write in. Anybody, again.
Yeah, we got one. So we keep them all rolling, y'all.
Keep it going. I would say I'll give it to Leah Michelle.
Because I think the Leah Michelle thing just never got better, even though, like, the slap.
The fact that I just had an update.
The fact that you had an update. Going. Exactly.
Susan Sontag is the spiritual advisor of this podcast, and in her honor, here are the nominees for the Sontag Award for Camp Excellence.
Beautifully said.
This is probably my favorite.
Your favorite category?
Category.
Yeah, it's a good one. Okay, it's a big category, so I'm assuming like we could do a movie, we could do a performance, like any. It's all on the table. I am going to just give it to. I'm going to just go for a whole movie. And I'm going to go with Pirates of Penzance. I think it was the best use of camp of any of the musicals that we watched this year. I think it is the performance that I would most like to rewatch because I was so delighted by the camp.
I am going to go. I'm going to go favorite moment.
Okay.
And like really encapsulate camp in this one moment. I am going to nominate Audrey arranging flowers in Little Shop of Horrors. Her entire career as a florist.
Yes.
Is camp when she pulls out the spray paint and she arranges these like three sticks of three flowers. Mm-hmm. It's just great. And I mean like
for a Jewish funeral where they don't do flowers.
It's truly like, and like the fact that it is given like the visual time, like as like Seymour is like, you know, telling her something and confiding in her while she is so focused on this as if this is her art.
And also she's doing the tried and true comedy bit of treating things as a surgeon in a surgery.
Yes.
Scalpel.
Yes, absolutely.
That comedy bit.
Ugh, just great. Audrey's career as a florist.
So I said for my honorable mentions, Grease 2. Congrats. You did not get the nomination, though. I said the entirety of Little Shop. But the one I went with is our most recent film, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Because to me, I think because they got to do the show for so long before they made the movie, it's similar to Pirates. They were so lived in and they knew what the level of camp was supposed to be. And they just like went for it. Like there's not an embarrassed moment in that movie in any way whatsoever, which
key in making camp like work. I feel, and especially honestly, in movies.
What's very funny about this is we did not talk about camp about this movie. Like, we didn't bring it up.
It was an unspoken element.
Right. I think our listeners at this point have heard us talk about camp enough that they're like,
I think we got it now.
We got it. Thank you.
I will throw my honorable mention, like the Mamma Mia situation. My honorable mention was in Sister Act when the nuns were running around Reno to try and look for her and the different moments of her cashing, you know, like her playing the slots.
Yep.
The nuns like praying for people, the roulette table, like just the scurry of nuns throughout Reno was also like very close.
Yeah. I think we should give it to RJ's flower nomination because I was tempted as well to nominate Little Shop. And I think it is the campiest moment in arguably also the campiest film that we watched. I mean, to me, Pirates and Little Shop are vying for that, but I think the specificity of that to me tips it over the edge.
Yeah. Sure. I'll do that for sure.
Thank you. The Industrial Revolution not only gave us trains and robber barons, it also took us from simple Greek tragedies to ways that machines can inform the musical genre. Here are the nominees for Best Performance by a Machine.
I'm going to give it to the cars that keep running off the road in Christmas on the Square. I tried really hard to not look at you as I said it because I knew I was going to laugh. And I think the fact that there are multiple plot moments that hinge on the idea that somebody ran off the road in their car and that I still feel quite certain that Dolly Parton did try to murder a child.
It's true. It's there. It's the evidence is there.
I just think, I mean, talk about essential to the plot. You know what I mean? And so I just think it's got to go to the cars.
It's got to go to the cars.
It's
RJ?
Go to the cars. I am going to nominate the Medusa transducer used in Rocky Horror Picture Show that turns all of them into Medusa statues. Yes, we did talk about... that's right. Yes, we did talk about Dr. Scott and the wheelchair. But if we're just going by machine ingenuity and invention alone, the fact that this ray, extraterrestrial technology, can transform organic matter into marble statues with a specific reference. I mean, that's genius.
That's genius. I was convinced that both of you were going to say something else, so I'm going to switch mine around. But here are my nominations, or here are my honorable mentions. First, I have the subway system in the Heights.
Okay.
Because again, I loved Paciencia Fe. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
incredible.
Oh, you went like technical. Okay, I got you.
Machine.
I thought you were gonna say the subway lair in The Wiz and how they were strapped in the labyrinth.
RJ, hold that thought. My other honorable mention is the concept of electricity in Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh my god.
Girl.
And that's on what?
Edison.
However,
Tesla is quaking.
Tesla got dead.
My nomination goes to something that is almost rudimentary in design. I don't know if I want to make Molly mad.
No, let's do it.
When have you ever not?
When have you ever had this?
Okay. I'm going to do the one I actually wrote down.
Okay.
So I thought you guys were going to say the puppets that got big.
They're not machines.
That's why I did not write them down. I really thought about them, but I did not write them down. However, my nomination goes to the big microphone in The Wiz.
Yes!
Am I bad?
Yeah.
No, I was gonna swap it in the whole movie.
Yeah. That's true. You were like that big microphone.
I was gonna swap it and do the puppets, but I decided to stick to my guns.
I feel the puppets are animated by magic.
Yes,
yeah, that's my feeling. So the text is telling me that this is fantasy more so than science fiction. Mm-hmm.
You gotta say though, electricity.
I don't know. I
kind of think that maybe that's what we should go. As much as I truly believe in my car's nomination.
It's electricity.
Yeah,
if it's not electricity, I would have also voted for the cars because they are, for some reason, they just can't stick to the roads.
Can't do it.
But I think, yeah, electricity was such a feat.
She did that.
She did.
Miss Tesla.
She did.
Nikola. Here on Best Revival for a Podcast Showcase, we nominate these original productions to be future revivals in this current run of Showcase. Here are the nominees for best revival of a revival. Best revival option for a revival episode.
So to explain to the listeners, we are nominating an movie musical that was done in the first iteration of Showgaze, first season, to be redone in the new format, aka to have Molly watch it and hear her thoughts.
Hear her thoughts.
And, you know, see if our thoughts have evolved in the 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Molly?
So, I have to say, this movie, I listened to your pod on it. I've watched Lindsay Ellis' video analyzing the faults of this movie adaptation. You sent me a meme recently regarding this movie. But do you know what? I flippin' love Phantom of the Opera. And I would love to tell you about the fact that I think it's a good movie, actually.
Oh, my God. I knew
there
it.
There is so much about Phantom of the Opera that we did not talk about. We did not talk about Joel Schumacher and how he is, like, famously very gay. And directed that film. And it's entirely from his family. Okay. RJ?
So I picked mine with caveats. Or like a... not caveat. An alternate option. So I picked either The Music Man or Bye Bye Birdie. But... I know. But the option to watch the TV movie versions of those.
Oh.
Because they exist. Mm-hmm. And we've, you know, broken ground by watching the televised, the TV movie Annie. Mm-hmm. So I figured that could
be. We also watched Cinderella.
And yeah. Yes, we watched Cinderella in the first season, mm-hmm. too. So it would be an option to, you know, we can kind of like maybe.
So you have to pick one, though.
Let's see. Kristen or Vanessa?
It's nomination, not nominations.
Let's do Music Man, because maybe that'll give us an opportunity to talk about the latest Music Man revival. And just the idea of Music Men.
Music Men.
Why is it?
It's actually Music Men.
The men of music.
Yeah, yeah.
Here were my honorable mentions the last 5 years, because we have not heard Molly really talk about it.
Even though we read her, I don't even remember.
When Molly came on for Hello Dolly, she started the episode by talking about
her thoughts. That was not problematic fave, Jamie.
That did not summarize her thoughts near enough. No. And we know that to be true.
That was just giving a taste.
However, that's not what I went with. Another album mentioned, Grease.
Because
I have to hear Molly talk about Grease.
Yeah. Because we have the, yes.
And also Olivia Newton-John just died. And I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
You know. But no, I went with Phantom of the Opera.
An adversary, an antagonist, an enemy, a sworn rival. Whatever you call it, we have a slew of them for our podcast. Here are the nominees for Best Pod Nemesis.
Beautiful.
I feel that
Google.com for synonyms to villain.
They were beautiful synonyms. I feel that my sort of nomination should count for extra, because I do feel that I have maybe the most nemeses that I've collected as a host.
It's true.
And while Tom Hooper, I think, has been the most sustained nemesis for me, I feel like I've mentioned him derisively in at least 50% of the episodes probably that we've done. I gotta say Dame Judi Dench. I just think that the way that she personally insulted me to begin this whole experience is something that I'm simply not going to let go, and I'm not going to forget about.
And she did that to you.
She did that to me, and to personally. Me alone. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. RJ?
Okay. I will read my honorable mentions, so I hope that they're not your honorable mentions too, Adam.
Okay.
So honorable mentions go to second wave feminism.
Mm.
Wow.
Because Adam just...
He's against it.
He's against it, you know.
First and third only.
Skip the second. Our other honorable mention...
Season 2 of Feminism was not that good.
Yeah. Good thing they changed the cast for season 3.
Yeah, they got a new showrunner for season 3. Bell Hooks.
That's the best joke you'll ever make. You should just walk off. You can't be on the spot.
Bye. It's never going to be better than that. My other honorable mention is our email address. The fact that we had a wrong misspelled address. When we made the address, we couldn't remember the password.
And desperately, desperately asking people every week to email an email account that did not work.
Did not work. And it, yeah, it took a human person to be like, just so you know, your emailing does not work.
It only goes to show that our mothers have never tried emailing.
Yeah. They, which they really, never contacted me.
Maybe they're
me.
The nemesis of this pod. That's our season two story.
But I ultimately went with a combo of Zoom / our hard drive because our hard drive famously
for the sands of time.
Lost two recorded episodes of Les Miserables and Evita, which our listeners have been spared from. But they were very funny, I'm sure.
I'm sure they were.
And then, you know, we'll have Zoom issues sometimes of like, we're not on the right microphone, freezing, just different things, recording on the computer versus recording on the cloud, Adam kicking the... I will say, last week, the Zoom did keep a clutch for us, and when Adam accidentally turned off the computer, Zoom said, hey, you didn't save your last recording. You still want that? We sure did. So, like a good nemesis, sometimes it makes you question, you know, like, oh, are you really my adversary? Or maybe you're just toying with me because you're capable of helping.
There's and it's tension. Them,
there's tension. In other words,
where's the tension?
Tension. That should be your nemesis.
Oh, it is. That's a Professor personal Valancourt. Tension. Yes.
Okay, Adam.
So my honorable mentions are Tom Hooper, director of Cats, the only movie we watched by him this year.
Absolutely.
And Will Gluck, the director of Annie 2014.
Oh.
Also, though, not the only movie of his we watched this year to RJ's previous nomination. Only one that we have
as far
successfully
as the listener
recorded
knows,
and released.
As far as the listeners know, it's the only one we watched.
Okay.
On paper, on the pod feed.
On the feed, yeah. However, the nomination I went with is for two reasons.
I think I have an idea who it is.
It's RJ Silva.
What?
Because he lost two episodes.
Oh my God.
And he doesn't know how to succinctly summarize a plot in a minute or less.
Absolutely. But I'm not changing.
And that's nemesis behavior.
Yeah. And the fact that you'll stick around is
also
is
the
very
fact
nemesis-y.
That you just tried to play this off like Zoom and the hard drive miraculously lost it. Wait, girl, you hit the delete button.
I hit the delete button.
And then emptied that little trash can.
But Miss Zoom didn't rename my recordings automatically.
No, because you only use the same room file
because
for each.
I don't want to complicate it for Molly. I just want to use the same link all the time.
You're implying now he's that.
Molly, it's RJ. Molly, it's RJ.
I'm just trying to play for, you know, the vote.
I was gonna agree with the email address nomination, but since you decided to throw in a little quip there, like I couldn't handle going to a different Zoom link every meeting. Now I'm on board with the RJ nomination.
Thank you.
I did prepare a speech.
But I lost it.
But I lost it. I deleted it. Zoom deleted it, so from the tone to the production design to the cinematography to the way dance is captured on film, some directors just get directing movie musicals. Tonight, we recognize those directors. Here are the nominees for Best Director that gets it.
So I want to give an honorable mention to who I'm guessing will be Adam's nominee, which is Damien Chazelle for La La Land. Mm-hmm. Specifically the sunset yellow dress dance sequence.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to nominate Frank Oz for Little Shop of Horrors because I do think
a really good
that while it didn't win out for me in the camp category, to me it is the most, it has kept the most from the genre of stage musicals.
Mm.
And what makes it such a good movie is the way that it is ultimately trying to capture what makes a stage musical great.
That's great.
That's a great nomination.
My nomination will be Steven Spielberg for West Side Story. And I think I took it very much in the idea of best director that gets it, where he definitely got what was great about the original movie of West Side Story, mm-hmm. and even just like, you know, the musical of West Side Story, was very confident in his own skills as a very, you know, one of the best in the business, but still be able to like pour like love for the original source material, which I think like throughout all of the movies we've watched, that little bit of like knowing that the director loves this mm-hmm. really makes a difference. And I felt like out of all of the movies, like,
you hear that, Will Gluck?
Out of all of the movies, Steven Spielberg had obviously the biggest stakes because it was already an award-winning movie that he's trying to remake or like retell. And I think he did a very beautiful job that stands on its own, I feel like.
That's all great. That wasn't even funny. That was all just true.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing funny about directing.
My honorable mentions are Steven Spielberg for West Side Story for all the reasons RJ just said, mm-hmm. and John M. Chu for In the Heights. Mm. Because I think of all the movies we watched this year, I think that one captures dance the best. Mm. I loved that movie. Mm-hmm. Go listen to that episode. However, the director I went with already won the directing Oscar for this film. It's Bob Fosse for Cabaret.
Oh!
Because that sequence of, what's that song called? The German one?
Mein Herr?
Willkommen?
No. Sorry. The
They're
Nazi
all
song.
German. It's set in Germany.
The Nazi song.
Tomorrow Belongs.
Tomorrow Belongs to Me. Still sits with me. Like months later, I'm still sitting with it. Mm-hmm. I think it's an incredible tour de force as a director. And again, he understands what that musical is supposed to be.
Yeah.
But even in like a deeper level of like, it understands the power of what the movie can do in order to like dig into the theme of the movie even deeper.
For sure.
Yeah. But also, mm-hmm. go ahead.
I was just going to say that movie, and this is really more the movie, I guess, necessarily than Bob Fosse, but like, It doesn't end with, and then it's solved. Like, it mm-hmm. ends with her being like, we'll just ignore it and it won't happen. And it's like, and then guess what? Guess what? It happened.
Before we discuss the winner, I do also want to remind the listeners that Tim Burton did not direct Nightmare Before Christmas.
I wrote down Tim Burton and then erased it. I was like, wait, he did.
I want to one more time just praise the vision of that movie. And I did watch it recently with my nephews. And then I made my older nephew watch the behind the scenes video with me so that he could see all the work that went into making it. RJ, I'm very compelled by your nomination, and my only concern is that Steven Spielberg has enough awards, so I just don't think he needs another one. Mm-hmm.
I know. I will definitely... That's okay, because I was also compelled by both the Fosse and the Frank Oz nomination, so I could...
I can't get behind Frank Oz because of the end of Little Shop of Horrors. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not necessarily his fault.
He was made to do it.
But... it just is a blemish on the film.
It needs to be factored in. Okay. So yeah, maybe it is Fosse then. Because I think, it's the way that was like the cameras were controlled in order to show the audience exactly what they needed to see at the right time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we can give it to Fosse, but I do want to say that I think we have not given enough love on the whole to In the Heights on this episode. Yes. And that she was also a very good nomination.
Yes.
Yeah. Truly.
It's a close call.
Close call. What makes the worst performance in a movie musical? Take one part role, one part casting troubles, mix with a misunderstanding of what the performance calls for, and you get these nominees for worst performance in a movie musical.
Yet again, it falls to me to state the obvious. Ben Platt. In Dear Evan Hansen. The casting choice, the makeup choices, the commitment to the dramatic level at which he was playing the role, they were all misses. Mm-hmm. And
where are the misters?
it is unrecoverable from. So, mm-hmm. you know, the film, there was no way that film could have succeeded with the mistakes made in that central casting decision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And especially in a vanity film, if mm-hmm. the person that they're trying to, you know, highlight. Yeah.
They were like, he will get an Oscar.
Oh, yeah. They believed that in their souls.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. My nominee for worst performance in a movie musical is Mary Lane Haskell from Christmas on the Square. This is the woman who is married to Pastor Christian, who in her first few lines says, like, if only will these fertility treatments will give us a blessing by Christmas or something like that. This woman, granted, did not have a lot of good writing material to, sure, to act on. So I will give that. But there was no spark between her and her husband. And she just didn't have like any charisma, like nothing about, and she was an important, I guess, important character, but there was like,
I would say she's like the fourth lead of the film.
Yeah.
Which is really
and there
wild.
Was just nothing, there was no spark. There was nothing that grabbed your attention. And they made her look so
frumpy
and dowdy and just really sad, because I think like she could have been a really powerful force, but there was nothing turned in.
You think that?
I don't know. Maybe live. Maybe she's a better live performer.
Sure.
But there was just like, it was a little dead in the eyes, and you know, there was no spirit, even though the movie was filled with spirit.
Holiday spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But not from her.
What is her name?
Mary Lane Haskell from Christmas on the Square. Although Ben Platt was my honorable mention.
Okay. My honorable mentions are as follows. Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia. Next, Diana Ross in The Wiz.
Oh,
it's
that,
tough.
I mean, it's you tough. Did it's you tough. Did list casting in the intro.
In the,
so I guess if we're accounting for casting, potentially.
I did. It's true. However, the one I went with, I'm gonna make my argument in just a moment, but the one I went with is James Corden for Cats. Mostly because fuck James Corden. But also, he's bad in the movie. He's bad. Mm. Mm-hmm. Cats is bad, but he's especially bad in Cats, a bad movie. Ben Platt, I can chalk up to the direction is just not there, because he played the role on Broadway and he was great. So yeah. where did it go wrong?
And essentially,
maybe it's not his fault.
He just did the same thing. Same stage makeup, same energy.
Sure. Same hair. Exact same hair. Mary Lane Haskell, you know, I'm not gonna hurt a local community theater person who's just trying to make it big in Hollywood,
yeah.
RJ. I'm not going to come for an Atlanta local, unlike you. I'm not going to punch down. You know who I'm going to punch up to? James fucking Corden. First of all, this man's currently in the news. We can talk about
We're
not going to omit those recent
we're
events.
Not gonna omission of events?
Absolutely not.
He's barred from a restaurant.
A very restaurant. Like a famous restaurant.
I don't know what restaurant
whatever.
It is, but then there was like a New York Times thing where he was like, it's all just a bit silly, isn't it? Just because I wanted my eggs a certain way, I'm canceled for it. And it's like, no, girl, you suck.
It's because you're an asshole.
Army came for you once. Army obviously referring to BTS's fan base. Blah, 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 blah.
And that's
it's James Corden.
He's been
I screwed. Thought you were talking about Hammer, so I'm glad that you clarified that.
So I'm not moving my position. So one of you two has to budge.
You know what? I think I will budge to Ben Platt.
I took it when Adam said he wasn't budging his position to mean that he's going to make sure that James Corden wins, regardless
right.
of what we
That's
say.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I understand. Okay.
So one of you two has to choose James
Corden. I feel a little bit like Adam will actually punch me if I don't go with James Corden. So
yeah,
for that reason.
And you know what? This is a great way for us to be on the pulse for once.
Right.
You know, ahead of the trend, maybe.
Oh my gosh. And then it's going to be like something's going to come out that totally rehabs his image somehow.
And everyone is just, he adopts an orphan, actually.
He'll be like, I was
He's
rushing
adopting
to the
an illiterate
hospital
orphan next
to help
week.
My. Yeah,
I
yeah,
saved
yeah.
this little girl who was run over, or who was hit by a car, or whatever.
Yeah.
The eggs caused her car to run off the road, so it's a whole thing.
It's James Corden. Okay.
I do think Ben Platt deserves it, honestly, but we will give it to James Corden. So you've won, Adam.
Thank
you've
you. Won, Adam. That's what's, and of all the nominees, that's the one I wanted to win.
Yeah. Okay. It's your pod, ultimately.
It is. Oh. Thank you for saying that.
I see that we chose to keep an upsetting word in here from a lyric of a recent pod. So again, trans listeners, just know we're going for it. A sweet transvestite, a comedienne getting her start, a big sister consoling her sibling. It takes extraordinary talent to craft these performances from something mundane to something marvelous. Here are the nominees for best performance in a movie musical.
Now that, of all the ones that I wrote, that is the one that would actually, like, they would use at the Oscars.
Yeah. Maybe not the term that we kicked it off with.
Well,
the
they
rest
wouldn't
of it,
be
sure.
nominating.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be nominating Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Lifelong best movie award, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with, I mean, this category is hard because
this
it's hard
category
to.
Is so hard.
It, and it's hard to differentiate it from VIP performance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give it to Babs.
Unless you're RJ.
Unless you're me.
Unless you're RJ. I'm going to give it to Babs. I'm going to say Barbra Streisand in Funny Girl. Would not be a good movie except for the fact that she is in it and she is so charismatic. And so I think ultimately the most consequential good performance.
Hmm. Okay.
RJ?
Oh, this one was tough. And I did have other honorable mentions, so I will say them real quick. I had my honorable mention. It was a toss-up between these three, honestly. Mike Face in West Side Story, even though like you could say it was a supporting role, but I just felt like I was not expecting how great of a performance he would actually turn in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then my other honorable mention is Ellen Green from Little Shop of Horrors. Mm-hmm. Truly great, so nuanced, so lived in this character. And mm-hmm. the only reason why I'm not picking her is because we already awarded her performance with the flowers earlier. Mm. So my best performance in a movie musical that we've seen is Audra McDonald in Annie, because her performance evoked something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that
giving her the reprise to Tomorrow.
That mm-hmm. is the strength of a movie musical performance, I think, that'll evoke yeah. like, oh my God, there is like a warmth, a yearning, and her singing Tomorrow like may truly for the first time would make you feel that like, oh, I believe the words of this song.
Wow.
Like now I'm actually listening that there is a hope. So I'm gonna give it to her.
My honorable mentions are Barbra Streisand for Funny Girl. And I'm so sorry. And Joel Grey for Cabaret. However, the person that I went with is Ellen Green for Little Shop of Horrors.
Good. I'm glad she made it.
Because I think she is transcendent
yeah.
in that film. So that's my nomination.
Wow. What a strong.
Yeah, this is tough.
Strong leading list.
I don't care who wins. They're
I don't care
great.
Who wins. Yeah.
It probably shouldn't be Audra.
Yeah.
Just because Grace is not a lead.
Yeah.
It didn't say best lead performance. It's just best performance.
Just because there was a supporting.
There was a supporting category, but we didn't.
Best performance goes to Milky White.
Oh my God.
My Milky White performance in high school.
It's a tie. I mean, it's fitting that Barbara won her Oscar in a tie. Would we? I don't know. Oh, hold on. I got to think about this. I agree that Ellen Green is transcendent, but I also believe that about Barbra in that role. Like there 100%.
I can't say anything. Anything I have to say about Funny Girl, you can go listen to the Funny Girl episode.
Yeah.
Because that whole episode is just me talking about how important she is.
That's basically true of everything that we're nominating. But,
the only
yeah.
thing about Funny Girl, and this is not the fault of her performance, is that because she's really given not much in the second half of the movie, that it's like, I don't know. Like for me, it was hard. I enjoyed her younger, more livelier Fanny than her older Fanny. I feel like unlike
Franny, as
yeah,
Molly calls her.
Unlike Ellen Green, where I loved all sides of Audrey, from the super scared to the brave, to you know, to the one like pining for Seymour. So
yeah, but then you have Audra, not just Audrey.
But then you have Audra.
I'm gonna say we should give it to Godra.
Yeah,
I think that she did the most to elevate a role unexpectedly.
Mm.
And for that
and that's
reason,
what good performances do.
When she and Victor Garber kissed, it cured racism.
It ended racism.
It ended racism. Just remember that's right.
That. Yeah.
It's Audra McDonald.
Yeah. Wow. Lack of humor, trippy drug sequences, unfortunate casting, Tom Hooper. These are our nominees for Worst Movie Musical. Wow, we're really getting to the big leagues now.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a competitive category, to
be honest. Absolutely. For sure. Absolutely.
There's no clear front runner.
There's not a clear front runner.
And, you know, do I want to say Carousel out of personal vendetta? Yes, but that's not really the movie's fault.
I think it's better that Carousel hasn't been mentioned.
Yeah.
This entire
episode.
You're right,
we should keep it that way. But when
Every time I looked at it when I was making my nominations, I was like,
nothing for Carousel.
Think it's fun enough to bring up as like a joke.
Yeah. When I ask myself, other than the moral of Carousel, what of these movies makes me the most angry?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Annie 2014. Truly,
I really thought the words "Mamma Mia" were about to come out of your mouth.
No way!
And when you said Annie,
oh my god, I would watch Mamma Mia 1,000 times before I watched Annie 2014 again.
Of all of these movies, that is Annie 2014. I think is the one movie I would literally never watch again.
I would not watch again.
Yeah. You would have to hold a gun to my head.
Yeah, it just
and honestly,
under
if you
duress,
are, if you are holding a gun to people's heads to watch Annie 2014. Slay.
Yeah. Live your life.
Rose Byrne wants that residual.
I think that Annie 2014 has the most contempt for its source material. And that's
oh my God.
That is a big thing to say in comparison to Cats. But
or
Dear Evan
Hansen,
I think that Annie 2014 believes on a deep level that musicals are dumb.
Yep.
And so
I'm kept gonna bringing it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna nominate Annie 2014.
RJ.
Okay. This is really tough.
Because again, it's a competitive category.
It is a very, very competitive thing.
Who knew it's so hard to make a good musical?
Yeah.
We did. We knew.
Okay, if I am just going off of kind of like same with how Molly found hers, of like what movie musical made me the angriest? Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to have to pick Dear Evan Hansen.
Mm.
I think the...
Excellent choice. The only time I'll ever say that in regards to Dear Evan Hansen.
I think the the mismatched energies, no clear direction, casting was weird.
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Also the same vein of like fully hating movie musicals. So then why did you agree to do this one? But I think for me, like truly like the lack of direction to what Ben Platt should have done, or even like just lack of, you know, advice or anyone telling him anything, like maybe rethink what you're doing for the specific medium, because it just, his portrayal looked insulting. Like there was a point where I was like, are you trying to be on the spectrum? Are you trying, like, there, what is what is this performance? That for me, I got angry because I was like, what are you trying to say? You're trying to do so many things, but you have no idea what you're actually trying to say. This is one of them, especially when they were like, oh no, he's just an anxious kid. I'm just like you, Amanda Seyfried. I'm just anxious. Like, no, girl, you cannot talk to humans. There's something going on. But you're just like, but this movie is like, no, this is whatever. So
we know that that's your nominee for best. I'm just curious, what was your nominee for
best? I'm so sorry.
Okay, so my honorable mentions are Dear Evan Hansen and Cats.
We haven't made the case for Cats yet, and it needs to be made. And right. I am proud of you for not saying Greatest Showman. I just want to say that.
Molly, those were my honorable mentions.
Oh.
However, thank you for the intro. My nominee is Annie 2014.
Oh, oh my God.
Because it's so fucking bad. It's not even fun bad.
It's not even fun bad.
At least Greatest Showman, it could be over because it moves quickly.
At least there's a good song in there.
Allegedly. One of them is good. So, yeah, I did not pick Greatest Showman.
Girl, there's no melody to Opportunity.
It's about... I can't even...
And she can't
illiteracy.
Yeah,
standing right in front of you.
I just, like, it's so...
It's people who don't like movie musicals trying to do Annie. Just don't do Annie. Do a different movie.
Yeah,
it's Annie 2014. Famously, Adam, you said we're like a bad just movie, not even movie musical.
I want to say each Annie has won an award tonight in some instance.
They've
some
really made an impact on us.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful because we didn't put all that work in for nothing. From rival teen gangs to the transition of Hollywood films, from 1930s Germany to a fake nun with a good habit, these are the nominees for Best Movie Musical.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Also competitive.
Extremely competitive.
Extremely competitive.
Absolutely competitive.
Honestly, very hard, which a lot of good things. Yeah.
I think if we had done mediocre movie musical, that would probably have been the easiest award we nominated. Because there were only like two that I was like, this is fine.
Yeah, there's like two that we didn't give any.
And it would have been Carousel. It would have been Camelot. That's what it would have been.
Yeah, I mean, very difficult. I want to acknowledge Singing in the Rain is like objectively one of the best movie musicals of all time. I want to acknowledge that Sister Act is like a personal top movie for me. But I have to say what brought me the most joy watching this year, and I'm going to kind of say like what surprised me and delighted me the most. So I'm going to say West Side Story remake.
I truly thought for a second you were about to say La La Land, and I was going to be like, wow!
No, you didn't quite sell me that hard on it. I think, I mean, maybe it is partially that it's the only one that I watched in a theater, because I had to go to a theater.
That's
and
true,
maybe
yeah.
So then the scale of it felt, you know, bigger the way that it does when you watch it in a movie theater. But I went in without super high expectations and enjoyed it so much. And I think maybe of all of the movies on the list, I think I just said this about Pirates, but actually, genuinely, I think I would most want to rewatch West Side Story. So I'm going to go with that for my nomination.
Okay.
Wonderful choice.
Whew, this is really tough. Okay, I'm going to give the movies that I will acknowledge also. I'm going to acknowledge Little Shop of Horrors. I have said that it was one of my favorite movies that we watched this season. But it was ultimately going to be my choice, but Adam brought up the ending that I was like, oh, that's right. Even though I remember I was like, I'm actually a fan of the
ending.
He's pro theatrical ending. They chose. But I do think like if they had chosen the original ending, it would have made this movie like even more. I feel like Rocky Horror status of like, wow, so out
Rocky
there.
Rocky Horror
so.
Did what Little Shop should have done.
Yeah. I want to acknowledge Guys and Dolls because we all had a genuinely good.
I kept
good...
trying to think of ways to nominate his face.
Oh, Miranda.
Horniest.
Me.
Yeah.
my performance.
Molly's reaction to.
I want to acknowledge Guys and Dolls because it was a movie that we all genuinely liked and was really intrigued by, obviously, like the Hollywood stories that created the movie. But also, like, the performances were very solid. And I think, like, the character Sarah Brown was, like, one that we all, like, genuinely loved. And I think, like, had the most excitement, too, of, like, they could do this again. Like, they could really reboot this movie again. And I think it would be really fun.
And it's a movie, at least for me, where I had heard people be like, oh, it's not that good of a movie musical because, like, they can't sing or whatever. And so then I was, like, extra pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I thought this was great.
Yeah. But I am going to ultimately give my vote to Singin' in the Rain. I laughed at everything. I didn't laugh at the ballet, but it was beautiful. And as someone who loves a dream ballet sequence, it was very beautiful and like thoughtful. I feel like very, especially for a movie at the time. But I think just like I don't know, even the plot itself is just like, oh, that's so like, what a unique challenge to like look at and like poke fun at, mm-hmm. and like be able to kind of like show these actors do what they're best at.
So. Absolutely. My honorable mentions are La La Land and Singing in the Rain. Mm-hmm. However, I'm going with West Side Story.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's I said it when we watched it. It's nearly a perfect film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are now going to head into the final segment of the night, where we are going to bestow individual awards that we have decided for ourselves and give to any facet of anything. Mm. It doesn't necessarily be a movie. It doesn't necessarily have to be a performance. It could be a prop. It could be a cinematography shot. It could be a discussion we had on the pod. Mm. It could be truly anything. Mm. Molly, you get to go first.
I was going to name this the Head Turner Award for a thing that caught everybody's eye when watching it. And I wanted to give an award to The Champagne Flute in Grease 2. but I think I have to give it to those goddamn puppets in The Wiz.
Yes.
I think that the level of emotion they inspired in us and the resulting bit on the podcast.
Well, Molly, it's not Halloween yet. You haven't seen our costumes.
You haven't seen our costumes yet, Molly.
My God.
We're gonna show up on your doorstep in costume.
Yeah, you're gonna fly to Diego. You know, I think when I remember this year and I remember what happened, I think those costumes, those puppet costumes and them chasing Brian around through a subway will be a moment that I'll truly never forget.
Screaming through the subway.
Horrified.
You know,
40-year-old woman screaming, running through a subway.
Yeah. Memorable moment goes to those two puppets in The Wiz.
I will be naming this award the RJ's Food Rocks Award for most mouthwatering meal in a movie musical.
Oh, okay. Synergy.
Yes. And in true and new established RJ is the pod nemesis fashion, I will be awarding Carousel its only award tonight.
For the clam bake?
For the clam bake.
For the clam bake. Oh my God. It was a real nice clam bake. You have to give it to them that it was real nice.
A real nice clam bake.
If there's one thing I could say about that clam bake, it's that it was real nice.
another tempting category of most obvious lyric, yeah.
Right.
Oh, ooh, yeah, that's good. That's good. So yeah, the clam bake gets an award. Carousel leaves with one.
Well, as the host of this pod, I get to give out three awards.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Okay. First, I have an award.
Okay. I have another award too that I can give out later too.
Free for
should
all
I do
now,
it
apparently.
Now? Should I do it now?
Yeah, do it.
Because I was thinking about it too. I will give an award basically where it's like, I wish you were in a different movie because you're very talented.
Oh.
But this is not the platform or story that you should have been. And I will give a three-way tie for this award to
Again, not being able to edit ourselves.
Yep. I know, exactly. I will do a three-way tie between Michelle Williams for The Greater Showman, Sir Ian McKellen in Cats, and Richard E. Grant for Everybody's Talking About Jamie. So yeah. Now they can also leave with one one award.
This is the most impressive feat of not staying with me at all, even though I had a visceral reaction to not liking this movie award. Uh-huh. And it goes to Across the Universe.
Mm.
I truly, anytime I was looking at this list of categories, I kept thinking, there's got to be ways I can nominate Across the Universe. I hated it so much. And I couldn't think of anything that happened in the movie. Not a single thing. And not only did I watch the movie and recorded the episode, but then I spent hours editing the episode, so you'd think that wasn't that long ago. Think I'd be like, oh yes, I remember all the bits. I literally remember the Uncle Sam.
Because it's a great moment.
And that's it. I believe that's it.
Do you remember the football players tackling each other?
No. When are there football players in the movie?
In her song, Prudence's I want to hold her hand.
Oh, yes.
You know, the very important character.
How dare you do this to the lesbian community?
Well, they know what they did.
Spagliato.
That's my first award.
Stunning.
Stunning. Oh, stunning.
Oh, stunning. My second award is most insane thing a character does for a plot line. This goes to Dolly Parton. Causing a little girl to nearly get killed in a car accident just so some rich lady learns how to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And this conversation on the pod is the reason it's in our top five you must listen to this episode.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because it's unhinged.
It's unhinged.
And finally, I couldn't leave without giving an award to The Greatest Showman. I have such a long, storied relationship. Mm-hmm. So the final award is in tribute to Molly. This is the Molly Mataini Most Horrifying Thing Molly Taught Us from History Award. And it goes to the grisly past of P.T. Barnum.
That needs to be a recurring
For next year. I look forward to doing some research this coming year to try to give us some compelling nominations for that category.
And specifically the history of P.T. Barnum and George Washington's nursemaid. So just go back and listen to that, look it up, or don't, and just go move on with your day knowing that you don't need to go to hell at all.
And thank you. That's the showies.
That's it.
Wow.
This was so fun.
This was so fun.
What an
amazing new tradition that we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was great. It's really nice to think back over the year and all the things that we...
And that it's been a year and how crazy that is.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we decided to do this now and not when I suggested, which was like January, because if we had like six more movies to add to this, I would have been like... I couldn't remember anything from Jamie either, to be honest.
Yeah.
Other than, like, I know the plot because I'd seen the show, but that was it.
I will say, we're still recording, so you can put this in somewhere if you want, that the opening and the closer of the Broadway show, there was a day at my work this summer where I was, like, just having a tough time, and I decided to go walk to a coffee shop, like, two blocks away to get myself a coffee, and I listened to those songs as I was walking, and it, like, 180'd my whole mood.
Oh.
Yeah.
What show?
Jamie. Everybody's talking about Jamie.
Which songs, though?
The opener and closer. So
everybody's talking about Jamie.
No,
that's the middle. Act 2 opening.
What's the opener called? Don't Even Know It.
And You Don't
and
Know It.
Out of the
and
Darkness.
Out of the Darkness. Into the Spotlight.
Yeah. Now those are I'm talking about listening to the West End recordings of that, not the movie version.
Not the movie. Here's my boy.
No, shockingly, that one is not in my rotation. Yeah.
Honestly, it should have been the Molly Mataini Award for ways that mothers are portrayed.
Oh, God. Yipes.
That's another great one.
Or the Molly Mataini Award for just like, I didn't like this musical genre. For ABBA.
Lots of stuff in the Dark Ages there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, RJ. Thank you, Molly, for awarding this fine crop of films. Some wonderful awards.
We also forgot to do the ultimate award, which is for best revival of a podcast.
That's true. Well, congratulations, Showgaze. We are still has won it 2 years in a row now.
Yet again. Thank you so much, everyone, for this honor and for showing up.
And showing out.
And showing out. Thank you, Sidetrack, for hosting the conversation where the revival took place.
Planning, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and one day hosting our first live show.
And one day
we're manifesting.
I have a fever dream of, you know, us blowing up, being so popular, and then we rent out Sidetrack to do our first live show. And what movie would we watch?
That's for you to decide.
Yeah, that's a question.
Yeah, let us know. Email us in the email address that works finally.
Thank you to all of our listeners, from our moms to our friends, to even just strangers that found us through search engine optimization looking for movie musical podcasts.
I will say thank you to both Rita and Steve, because Steve did ask today that he could get mentioned on an episode. Oh, so
well, there you go.
Hi, Steve.
And yeah, we're going to keep doing it. If there is a movie that you want to, there have been requests that have been made for next year. So if you have movies that you want us to watch, please let us know. We will also be doing our due diligence.
We'll also hear your, if you say Molly has not spoken yet about High School Musical and what are her thoughts? It's important that we have those. We share those as well.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, there are multiple sequels.
Yeah. Multiple. I'll just have to keep that a mystery until such a time.
Maybe
as
that's
we
our
them.
Next April.
High School Musicals.
March,
oh my gosh.
March Madness.
March Musicals. Great. Okay. I'm just got very tired.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Congratulations to our first year of Show Gaze.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the best revival of a podcast, Show Gaze. You can find us on social media. Adam is at Adam Noecker on Twitter. RJ is at RJ Food Rocks on Instagram. And Molly is at Molly Matiny on Instagram. This episode was edited and mixed by Adam Noecker. This has been an Ampliverse production. You can find our show page and more information at theampliverse.com. If you'd like to send us your own takes on the movie we just watched, reach out to us via email and we might read it aloud on the show. Our email is showgazemoviemusical@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. And as always, rate, review, and subscribe to help others find the show. And now, as always, the show must go on. So stick around to hear what we're going to be watching next episode.
Hi, Guido Contini. I've seen all your movies. They have such style.
Style.
It's the Italian in you. I see the sexual revolution in every frame.
What is the sexual revolution?
That we can talk about later.
Okay.
Guido, Guido, Guido!
Guido!
Guido.
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 I love the dark and handsome guys with the skinny little ties.
You're perfect. I better not kiss you.
No, don't kiss me. I might bite you.
Wearing shades in the middle of the night. Whatever Guido does, it makes me smile.
Your last two films, they were
flops.
Have you run out of things to say?
I can't remember how you do this.
Directing a movie is a very overrated job. We all know it. We just have to say yes and no. What else do you do? Maestro, should this be red? Yes. Green? No. Yes, no. Yes, no. Directing.
My husband.
I can't believe you came.
Makes movies.
I was dying till just now.
You're saving the movie. Lives
a kind of dream.
Give him a good idea, for God's sake.
Everybody knows about me. Why won't you let me near you?
It's not fair to your husband. It's not fair to my wife.
I'll be here waiting for you. With my legs open.
No wonder you got in a film. You're too busy inventing your own life.
I need help.
Are you a Catholic?
I'm trying.
Try harder.
Serious. There's nothing wrong with making people laugh a little.
Discovering voices.